Okay, good evening. We are looking at Parshat Bamidbar, Bamidbar Sinai, and which is the beginning of the fourth book of the Torah. And we hope to be exploring a discourse which was said on Shabbat Parshat Bamidbar, which was in 1954. And so let's just have a look at a little bit of the beginning. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai, and God spoke to Moshe in the desert of Sinai, b'ohel moed, in the tent of meeting, b'echad lachodesh hasheni, the beginning on the first day of the second month, b'shana hashenit, in the second year, l'tzeitam me'eretz Mitzrayim, of their going out of Egypt, le'emor, saying, su'u et rosh kol adat b'nei Yisrael. Now, literally, this means lift up the head of the whole community of the children of Israel, and we understand that it means count them. Le'mishpachotam, by their families, le'veit avotam, by their father's houses, be'mispar shemot, by the number of names, Kol zacha legulgulotam, every male by their heads, miben eschim shana b'mala, from 20 years and upwards, kol yotzei tzava b'Yisrael, everyone who goes out to war in Israel, tifkudu otam, you should count them. Here it uses the normal word for counting. Letzivotam, by their hosts, ata v'aron. So who has to do the counting? Ata, that's Moshe, and Aaron. V'itchem yiyu, and with you shall be ish ish lemateh, one man for each of the tribes, ish rosh lebeit avotav hu, each man head of his father's house, ve'ele shemot ha'anashim, and these are the names of the men who will be with you. Who will be with you? And then it gives a list of the of the 12 men from the different tribes who are going to be together with Moshe and Aaron in order to do the counting. And then there follows, in the course of the parsha, a list of numbers. And in fact, that's why in old rabbinic Hebrew, this book, the book Bamidbar, is called Chumash HaPakudim, the book of numbers. And in fact, in English, it's called the Book of Numbers.
Because of the census,
and there's numbers. It begins off with these numbers, and then there are numbers again. So this idea of numbers. All right, so given the idea that every single paragraph of the Torah is of infinite significance, as the Rambam tells us, in Mora Nebuchim, I think it is, that every single passage in the Torah has total significance, even something that may seem to be inconsequential. So we're going to try to explore this discourse. It's a very long discourse. We'll have to summarize lots of it. Hopefully we will get what could reasonably be called the gist of the discourse. Which is going to, first of all, be medayek. First of all, it's going to look carefully at the terms that we've just used and ask, you know, why this and why that. And with the help of God, we will then try to unravel those questions in the course of the discourse. Oh, yo, 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 And God spoke to Moshe, and he said, "Tzu et rosh kol adat b'nei Yisrael, lift up the head of the whole community of Israel, b'mispar shemot, by the number of names, atav Aaron, you and Aaron, v'itchem ye, you and with you will be ish ish lemate, one man from each tribe." So you see, it's covered several verses, just taking a few words from each verse, pointing out, selecting these words, which it's going to ask questions on. V'yadua hadiyuk b'zen, it's known, the question about this, and at the bottom there is a long footnote giving the previous sources of the discourse that we are looking at, because the Lubavitcher Rebbe would say a discourse in 1954, but that was based in ones that his predecessors had said, and it gives here a list of dates. There's 1918, there is 1806, 1810, and then, so a whole string of different discourses going back in time, which have explored these themes. And the scholars of Hasidic teaching, like Rabbi Yoel Kahn, who is a major scholar, the major scholar, they are able to say what is different about the way the Rebbe presents it to the way these previous Lubavitch Rebbeim of an earlier generation, of 100 years ago, of 200 years ago, what they were saying. So I have not explored it at that level, and I'm only going to try to explore what this discourse is saying. So all the comparisons of the different layers, and of course one can go further back, and a professor in Bar Ilan University, Professor Moshe Chalamish Shiebari, he wrote his doctorate many years ago on the sources of Rabbi Shneur Zalman, that's the first Chabad Rebbe, the sources of Rabbi Shneur Zalman in Chassidut and Kabbalah. So going back, is this from Rav Moshe Cordovero, or is it maybe from Isaac Luria, or from here, or from there, tracing things back, because you can go further and further into the origins of many of these concepts. However, as they appear here, it is a, I feel, a very beautiful collection of expression about this particular section, and so let's try and explore it together. So, Yadua Hadiyuk Bazeh, it's known the questions that were raised. Heim bechlalut ha'inyan, whether in the general topic, veheim bepirchtei hadvarim, or in the details. The bepirchtei hadvarim, because when we consider the details which we have here, tzarich la'avin, we have to understand ma shekatuv b'mispach shemot. Why does it say the number of names? De'lechora noger rak ha'mispar de'bnei Yisrael. You'd have thought the thing that's significant is we're trying to find the number of the Jewish people. Malagei inyan shemot. Why are their names so important? V'gam eino muvan omro b'mispar shemot. Then it says the number of names in the plural. De'lechora me'acha sheba behemshech l'ma shekatuv kol adat b'nei Yisrael. Since this follows the phrase of counting the Jewish people, so it's the names of the Jewish people. It should have said by the number of their names. Why does it say the names? Just like that, as if shemot is something separate to the Jewish people. It's as if within the text There's the idea of the people and the idea of names as a separate category. Just not just the idea of their names, but just names.
Isn't it obvious it's their names? Who else would it be?
You're right that it's, you see, look at that verse 2. Su'ed rosh kol adat b'nei Yisrael, lift up the head, in other words, count the whole community of Israel, le'mishpechotam, by their families, le'veit avotam, by their father's home. The mispar shemot, then the number of names without the possessive plural, kol zachar, every male, l'gulgulotam, by their heads. Every other significant word in the pasuk, in the verse, has got the third person plural possessive, and this is the one word that is just absolute, just shemot, names. Right, it does stick out in the reading of the text. Gam tzarich lahavin. Then another point, mashikatuv su'u. The fact that the word that's used for counting is this word su'u, lift up. Lelechora havele lemar. At first sight, we would have thought it would say l'shon hamorei minyan. A word which typically means counting. Kamo alashon tifkadu, like the expression tifkadu, count, literally. Shenema behemshech tzibui zegufa, which is in this very passage. V'lama olmer alashon su'u. Why does it say su'u, she'ena more al minyan, which doesn't in itself mean counting, ele perushohu menshon hagba'a. It means lifting something up. Oifhebel puts it in Yiddish. וגם אין מובן מה שכתוב שאו את ראש. What's this about lifting up the head? ולכאורה הבלילמה שאו את כל הדת. Lift up the whole community. Count the community. מה אומרו את ראש? Why does it say the head? Okay, you could say somehow it's counting heads. In fact, he didn't count heads. It's an interesting question exactly how they were counted. At an earlier part of the Chumash, they were counted by giving half shkalim. Here they're being counted. Perhaps there was a concept of counting heads, but it's a because you have the heads of the Shvatim, the leaders of the Shvatim are in charge of getting all the numbers. But still, it's something that suggests there's more in it. I mean, that's always the concept, that in the Torah is telling a narrative, and some little crinkle in the way the Torah is telling that narrative indicates that there's another dimension. V'gam tzarech lahavin lama hu tzarech liot haminyan al yidei Moshe v'Aaron. Why did Moshe and Aaron together have to do the counting? V'alo haminyan harishon, there was an earlier counting. V'tzeitam b'mitzrayim, when they came out of Egypt, haya al yedei Moshe b'uvad, that was only Moshe did the counting. V'lama hu tzarech liot minyan ze gam al yedei Aaron. Why does this counting also have to be with Aaron? V'hainu. Okay, so one second. Then we have another point. I'm skipping three lines. Ve'od tzarech lahavin. We further have to ask to understand. Lama utzrach liot minyan ze gam al yedei anesiyim. Why do the heads of the tribes also have to be involved? Okay, well, there is a simple answer to that, that it's the heads of the tribes who somehow they are the ones who organize getting the full numbers of their own particular tribes. But there is going to be another dimension of significance seen in that. Kamosh katuv itchem yu ish ish lemateh, with you will be one man from each tribe, the leader of the tribe. And then it gives a whole list of their names in the Torah. And towards the end of this paragraph, it talks about... We're moving on towards the end of this paragraph. Four lines from the end. Umahu godel ma'alato. What's the great importance of this counting? Shalachin nichtav zeba Torah, and on account of which it was written in the Torah, v'nitztavu likcho zeba Torah b'chol shana b'shana, and we are commanded to read this in the Torah every single year. We read the Torah every year, and every year we come to the same concept of counting. Uv'yoteh nemuvan, and further it's not understood, shaharei b'imei David ha'emispa b'nei Yisrael harbei yoteh mitafrei shelef. The number of the Jewish people in the time of King David was a lot more. Va'achakach b'zman ha'bayit, and then in the time of the temple, and especially the time of the second temple, hayu harbe pamim kiflayim miyotzei Mitzrayim. They were much more than twice those who went out of Egypt, which was 600,000. Ve'im kein lama nitztavu likcho b'chol shana b'shana minyan zedavka. Why are we commanded to read every single year the account of this counting? Okay, so here we have a phenomenon, a section of the Torah which speaks about counting, and there is a spiritual dimension here which relates back to the spiritual essence of existence, and that's what hopefully he will map out to us. And we will also try to see how that affects and relates to the individual person as well. Okay, Beit. Achayinyan hu. Alright, so what we have so far are a number of questions, some of which seem particularly bolet, you could say, you know, sort of more forceful questions. Others, perhaps they could be answered this way or that way. But kachi darka shel Torah, that's the way of Torah, to proceed in a way of asking questions, and then it's the, in the process of answering the question, one gets to another level of the Torah. Achayinyan hu, the subject is as follows, dihineita b'zohar. It says in the Holy Zohar, sheminyan ze shayach lahadgalim. This counting relates to the degalim. Now, degal means a flag. And what it goes on to tell us in this parsha is about the camp of the Jewish people. The way that the 12 tribes were arranged in four blocks, and in each block were three of the tribes. And they had degalim, so there was one particular tribe which was Degel Machane Yehuda. So there was the crowd, the flag of the camp, the ensign of the camp of Judah, and then with Judah were two other tribes, and so it was arranged that there were it was arranged in a rather mysterious way, these four groups, and they are around the Mishkan. You have the Mishkan in the middle, and there's the sanctuary in the middle, and then round on each side there are like blocks of three tribes. Each of these squares, or these rectangles, represents three tribes. And now,
so this must all have much deeper meaning than telling us what's going to happen in the future, because we're not going to be travelling like this again, are we?
You're quite right. I mean, there's a question that could be asked about all of this, which the Talmud sometimes asks, my dahava hava, what was, was. You know, I mean, this is how it was in the desert, so what does that matter to us now? All right, well, in that case, let's see what the Zohar says.
Well, it might have some significance. The way it was, it might represent something. There might be something we can learn from it. It might have lots of relevance.
Mm. You're right.
What do you mean? What's the question? Why does the Torah describe anything that was?
Well, that's a very interesting thing. I mean, that's a question you could ask on the Talmud. I mean, the Talmud does ask occasionally, when there is an exploration of something or other that happened in the past, well, my dahava hava, what was, was. So it's surprising. You might imagine the Talmud would usually say, oh, every single detail is important. but it sometimes just does. Question is.
You're right. Rashi says that somewhere. I think in Kiddushin, Ma'ita Hava Hava.
I think the Gemara itself says it a few times.
Says it one, what has been has been.
Yes, yes, as a way of avoiding a question. You know, why this rather than that? Ma'ita Hava Hava.
The Gemara is completely different from the Chumash, with all due respect.
No, the Gemara is saying it about something in the Chumash.
I see. You mean that it was just a fact?
Would make an interesting article, you know, if you find all the places where the Talmud refers in this way to things in the past, whether in the Chumash or Tanakh, and see, you know, what kind of situation it says.
There are lots of things in the Chumash, like the menorah, the shulchan, the mizbeach, all the things in the Mishkan, right, all the things. They all represented something.
Yes, but the menorah is also an eternal thing. The menorah is something that will be in the temple when Mashiach comes. Yeah. So one can, you know, so it's very relevant exactly how the menorah was made. But if it's some detail which is never going to be repeated, so it's an interesting issue.
Yeah, I still say there might be some lesson.
Absolutely.
We can learn out of it.
Absolutely.
The Torah is giving an instruction for something to be done. It might have some fantastic significance.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. So let's see how it's expressed over here. So in this particular instance. So now,
tell us where we are, Tony.
Yeah, we are in
Bet,
and it's the towards the end of the first line. Shelachein la'achre inyan aminyan, after giving the counting, Muvua b'katuv, the verses of the Torah explain, Inyan Dalet Hadgalim, it explains the four camps of the Jewish people. Ube'inyan Hadgalim Muvua b'Zoasham, and concerning these camps of the Jewish people, it explains there in the Zohar, like Anthony says, Shuhu Kaneged Dalet Machanot Shechina, that this corresponds to the four camps of the Shekhinah. It's something spiritual. It's something in a spiritual realm. Sheheim Dalet Chayot HaMerkava, which are the four angels of the chariot, the divine chariot that Yechezkel, Ezekiel saw. And that chapter 1 of Ezekiel is a very powerful image in our Torah literature, where he sees four angels, and each angel has four faces. The face of a lion, the face of an ox, the face of an eagle, and the face of a man. And that is one angel, and then you have four angels like that, and they function as a kind of four posts of this Merkava, this chariot, and on top of the chariot is a kind of platform, and above the platform is a kind of image of a man, and below is a kind of what's called Ofanim, which is another kind of angel in some way, but it's also like wheels, and it's got eyes. It's a fascinating image. So the four angels of the chariot, they relate to the four camps of the Shekhinah, of the divine presence in spiritual realms, and that is the equivalent of this pattern that the Jewish people were organized in at this time. The Kashem Sheyesh Lamaila Dalad Machanot, just as above in spiritual realms there are four camps, so below there were the four camps of the Jews. And they were corresponding to each other, in their order, and also in their number. Just as with the angels of the Merkava, on the eastern side, Yesh Kuf Pei Vav Elef Machanot, there are 186,000 camps. Ubedarom, and on the south, Yesh Kuf Nun Aleph Elef Machanot, there are 151,000 camps. And he gives a quotation to the Zohar giving a source for this. Kmo chen haya mispar ze gam b'dgalim. Similarly, there was the same number with the camps of the Jewish people. The
number of people.
Ukshem shelamayla hareya mispar hu b'diyuk, and just as above in spiritual realms, the number is exact. The alav lo yosif u'memenu lo yigareya, that you can't add to that number, you can't take away from it. V'hainu d'pichdei shetia amshacha, that in order that there should be the flow, should be inyan merkava, flowing down into the chariot, shahachayot nosot et hakiseh, where the angels are lifting, so to speak, the throne, nosot u'menusa'ot, the angels lift the throne and the angels are carried by the throne, v'nosot gam et ha'adam she'al hakiseh, and they also lift, so to speak, the form of a man, so to speak, which is on the throne. That's all in Yechezkel's fantastic chapter 1 of Yechezkel, which the Mishnah says we should not use in order for a Haftarah reading, because it's too mystical. But in fact we do. Mm-hmm. And we...
very recently, I think, yes.
Well, we will very soon, because on Shavuot, on the first night of Shavuot, or the first day of Shavuot, we say this Haftorah from the Merkava of Yechezkel. Because the moment of Matan Torah was a kind of Gilui, it was a kind of moment of revelation, and then they saw the Merkava. And in fact, one of the Midrashim says that they saw the Merkava at the moment of the giving of the Torah, and they wanted to be with that form, like this pattern that they were able to glimpse in spiritual realms. And so therefore it was very natural to the Jewish people, when they were told this is how you should group yourselves, they understood that this is corresponding to this exalted spiritual dimension, and that that is what they're trying to do. And v'harezeh alidei mispar kazeh dafka. Now, in order to achieve that the angels are having this effect and that effect, it has to be with this particular number. Hinei kamochenu gam lamata. And so therefore, it's the same below in our physical world. Sha'am shacha shahaita bedgalim, the flow, the spiritual flow, which was there in these physical camps of the Jewish people, Shehi dugmat hamshacha shebemekava, which is similar to the flow taking place in the chariot, the divine chariot, he al yedei mispar kazeh dafka, is by means of just that number of souls that were there. Hainu mispar shishim ribo, and that is altogether the number of 600,000. Shemispar zehu b'diyuk, and that number is a precise number, the exact number which was there in the Torah. And so the fact of this being 600,000 divided in the particular ways that it is, that is highly significant, because it's an expression of this physical world corresponding to a boundless spiritual realm. Now we come to the question of 600,000. What's so special about the number 600,000? Because that is the number of the male Jewish people between 20 and 50. If you're going to get really the number of the Jews at that time, you have to add the same number of women, and then you have to give some kind of estimate for the people who are younger than 20, 60, sorry, between 20 and 60. You have to give an estimate for the people under 20 and over 60 and see how many there were. And so the Rebbe somewhere discusses this and suggests there were about 2 million people. If you include men, women and children, it was about 2 million people. But the number that the Chumash focuses on is the number of men between this age and between that age, between 20 and 60, and that is just the number of 600,000. Now, what's significant about 600,000? V'tam ha-mispar de-shishim ribo hu, the meaning of the number 600,000 is as follows. Lefi shesoresh neshamot Yisrael, the source of the Jewish people, hu bevav k'tzavot deza de-atzilut. Okay, we here have the concept. You see, we have the infinite, Ein Sof, and then we have Chochma, Bina, and Da'at, Chabad, and then we have Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and then at the bottom, Malchut. Okay, if you don't mind, I'm putting it in Hebrew. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut. So there we have the Sfirot. Now these Sfirot, Vov, Ktzavot, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Those are called the six extremities, as it were, the six poles of this region of the Sfirot, and Shehema Shisha Midot, which are these six qualities of kindness, severity, mercy, victory, submission, dedication. Ubaza, and in Ze'ampin, in this aspect of the Sfirot, Yesh Hei Chasadim Amagdilim, there is the concept of five. You see, there is a flow which is coming down, which is a flow of radiance, which is called Chesed, kindness. And we talk about Chesed in terms of five aspects of kindness, which is flowing down. V'hainu sh'ahei chasadim po'alim hagdala. That means that the five aspects of kindness cause growth. V'hitgalalut b'amidot. And one aspect to combine with the other, because of the flow of Chesed, which is flowing down really all the way through the system, that flow of Chesed, and there are five Chesedim which flow down, they are making the whole system fit together, so to speak. And Ad Shekol Midah Me'ashish HaMidot, till each aspect of these six Midot, of these six qualities, Klulami Yud, is made up of 10, V'Yud, and of 10, Miyud, and of 10, it's made up of 10, and the 10 is made up of 10, Ubehitkalalut Heipamim Yud Miyud, and when you multiply 5 times 10 by 10, Olea Mispar de Shishim Ribo, it comes to 600,000. I think it works like this. You start with 6 times 10, times 10, times 10, times 10, times 10. 6 times 10 is 60, times 10 is 600, times 10 is 6,000, times 10 is 60,000, times 10 is 600,000. So, the five times times 10 is the five chasadim, is the five attributes of chesed, which multiply together with the six aspects of the Sfirot. And so, and each one is made up of 10, because each Sfira is made up of 10, and so therefore you get to 600,000. There's a somewhat similar way in which the number of 248 mitzvot is arrived, also somehow or other within the Sfirot, and the numbers multiply this way and that way. So there are various ways in which numbers in the Sfirot, but this means that the number 600,000 actually goes back to some supernal realm of the of some spiritual dimension. V'zel ma shekatuv b'mispar shemot. Here we have the first of our questions, that we asked the question, why does it say with the number of names? V'kol ha-shemot de-lemayla, it doesn't mean the name of the Jewish people. It means the spiritual names above. Haynu shemot yudke vavke. It means the name Yudke Vavke, which is in these Sfirot that we're talking about. Shurobo Chasadim, most of it is Chesed, kindness, and Chesed is represented by Yudke Vavke. So therefore this whole number relating above is a number which relates to the name, v'lechein ha-mispar de-shemot havaya, and therefore the number of the names yud-kei vav-kei hu shishim miribor comes out to 600,000, because in fact each of these attributes has got within it the quality of yud-kei vav-kei. And corresponding to that number are the 600,000 Jewish souls. That's why at the beginning of the counting it says, and God spoke using the name Yudkei Vavkei, because the number of the Jewish people who connected Acheshbon, the Shemot Havai Lamaila, is according to the number of names, Yudkei Vavkei above. V'zeo inyan b'mispar shemot. That's why it says the number of names, not shmotam, not their names of the Jewish people, but names on a supernal level. Haynu b'mispar shemot Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei lemaila above. Now we have the idea that in the time of the desert with Moshe there were 600,000, and later on the numbers of the Jews became much more. The fact that later there were more people, that is, the way the number is in the lower worlds, creation, formation, action, is different to the way it is in Atzilut. Shekol in the world of emanation, the chol ma'ashinim shechlamati yoteh amispar b'yoteh ki yedua. Anything which comes down lower has a greater number. It's like more subtle and more rare on a higher level, and then it comes down to a lower level. So it's like a pyramid, the typical hierarchical structure, that it's narrow, it's lonely at the top, and it's crowded at the bottom. So that is this flow down into the world. So it is with the Jewish people, Shamispar de Shishim Ribor, the number of 600,000, Hu Neshamot Shoreshim. These are souls which are roots. Aval kol shoresh mitparet l'ribuy netzutzot, but each root divides into many sparks. Sheheim neshamot pratiyot, which are the individual souls. Somewhere it says that each of the 600,000 souls has got 600,000 sparks. So each soul comes down in 600,000 forms. V'lechein bazman yitzhiyat Mitzchayim u'matan Torah, at the time of going out of Egypt and giving in the Torah, shuzman klali, which is a general time, which is somehow operating for all history ahead, hayu az haneshamot k'mo she'hem b'chlalut, then the souls were in their general form. Avu b'hazmin banim sh'ala achazeh, but in later times, she'hem zmanim chatiyim, more particular times, Nitosvu ribui neshamot pratiyot, there were added more and more individual souls, shehem yoter mishishim ribor, much more than 600,000. Okay, now we then have a section, this is section Gimel, which talks about the way in which there is a flow from above downwards, and this flow comes from Keter. And we have the idea of Keter, which is somehow there is a flow downwards, but we have two aspects of Keter. There is the outer level and the inner level. And what it says here is that the outer level, there is a flow downwards, but it's finite. In some way, it's finite. Whereas the flow from the inwardness of Keter, that creates something which is completely beyond limitation. So we have the idea of a number which can be given, a finite number, and then there is the concept of an infinite number, that it goes beyond number. Lo yimad ve lo yisafer. It can't be counted. And so there is that quality within the nature of the Jewish people, within the nature of Torah, within the nature of existence, where we have finitude on the outer level, or beligvul, unlimited, on the inner level. And so therefore, when we're talking about this numbering of the Jewish people, we have a kind of an outer dimension and an inner dimension.
Can I ask you something about numbers?
Yes.
Where does ribo comes from?
Well, the word ribo means 10,000, like revava. Revava. So it's like a... It's the word for revava when you're talking about kama ribo, like...
plural.
Yeah, it's...
How many lots of 10,000?
Shishim ribo, yes. It's a strange word, but it does come from revava. Or revava and ribo are somehow intimately connected. It's fascinating, the Hebrew words for numbers. That's the different Hebrew words. So there we have. Let's go on to Dalet. Let's go on to section Dalet. V'hine beit hamshachot elu. So that's towards the bottom of the next page, section Dalet. Now these two kinds of flow, hamshacha shemitzat chitzoniyut haketer. The flow which comes from the outer dimension of keter shehi bahagbala, which is limited, v'hamshacha shemitzat pnimiyut haketer shehi bli gvul, and the flow from the inner dimension of keter, which is unlimited, chalukim heim zeh mizeh, they are different, these two kinds of flow are different. Shamshacha shebemedida. Now here is a fascinating idea. I actually don't remember coming across before. What it's saying here is that the finite flow is constant. The finite flow is constant. So this outer level of flow, which is limited, is of a constant kind. The inner level of flow, which is unlimited, is intermittent. And he gives an example of this. He gives an example of this in a person's behavior. That, for example, we have a person, you know, a person has seichel, has intelligence, is organized, does things in an organized way. Wonderful. This is a constant, dependable aspect of the person, and yet it's limited. What's unlimited? A moment of tremendous simcha, tremendous joy. At that moment, the person can go completely beyond his limitations or her limitations. They're not limited at that moment. The mean man can suddenly become generous because he's going beyond the normal style of his quality, his inner quality. However, this is a more rare phenomenon. The person isn't always besimcha. Sometimes he's besimcha. It might be once, very rarely, rarely in the person's life. So we have the idea that there's a constant flow which is limited and dependable. And there is a intermittent, occasional gilui of something which is bligvul and is also at that point it goes beyond everything and it connects everything together in an absolutely wonderful way.
And he's saying the ones which are constant are like the external ones.
Yes.
Like sight and hearing and talking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Whereas the ones which are intermittent,
like joy, like
emotional ones or mental ones.
I think that seichel he is putting together with the structure.
Saying that's constant.
Yes, I think so. I think so. It's a fascinating chapter. This section of
not everybody has seichel constantly.
Well, it's an interesting point. You know, we do have flashes of, you know, intuition. But normally the person who has got a, you know, a certain level of intelligence, that's the level of intelligence they apply, whether they're trying to get the flower, the plant pot to balance on top of the bookcase, or whether they are trying to, you know, to find a reference in the, you know, for some source in the Talmud, you know, whatever it is, they're using their seichel and they apply it. So sometimes might be more practical, more theoretical. Yeah. But then you have intuition, like a flash of, say, another level. So there's like something dependable. And
so you're saying those things that are very high up, where you go beyond your own limitations, are not constant.
Yes. Yeah. And he gives a reason at the end of this chapter. He gives a reason why it's not constant. Because it's dangerous.
You mean if you were happy all the time?
Well, putting it in sort of Kabbalistic language, but he's saying that if this, if you stop four lines off from the bottom of this chapter 4, the kibun sham shacha zu hi bepnimiyut haketer shehu bli gvul. Since this flow, which is from the inwardness of keter, is unlimited, v'nimshach ad lamata mata, and it flows down lower and lower and lower, harishayach sheyeh ba achiza lachitzonim chas v'shalom. It could be that the forces of impurity would take hold of this radiance, v'lechein asiluk hu lemal yuta, and therefore the fact that it's temporary and it goes away is actually a positive thing. Because otherwise, if the person were in a tremendous simcha all the time, without limit, in this bubbling way, you could see it would lead to problems. it would lead to problems.
I mean, it occurred to me that's why people take drugs, really, isn't it? They want to feel happy, and they take drugs because they want to feel, maybe it's too simplistic, they want to feel, they want to get that feeling of happiness.
I think that's, there is a problem the other way around. And in fact, it's not all the time, it's also intermittent, but there you have the problem the other way around. There you have the problem how they are inducing the state of simcha. So the way they induce it is through drugs, which is, you could say, a dangerous and a cheap and a unreal way. Here he's talking about a simcha which starts off genuine and pure, but the trouble is, because simcha goes beyond limits, so therefore there can be a problem if that simcha just goes on bubbling more and more and more in an unlimited way. Wait, you have here the suspicions of the opponents of Hasidism, why the Hasidim are so joyful, and what are the dangerous things that could emerge from that. And somehow part of the mystery of Hasidic thought is that you can have tremendous, tremendous joy, which is also under a very interesting kind of control. I remember it was sometime in the 1970s, I think it was the 70s, and I was visiting New York, and it was a Verbrengene Hitvadut with the Rebbe, and it was absolutely amazing. The singing was with tremendous, tremendous enthusiasm, and it got more and more and more, and suddenly the Rebbe jumped up. He stood up. I'm not sure if he stood up on his chair, but he stood up, and everyone else jumped up on the, there were like benches, and some said they all jumped up on the bench, like pews, and they jumped up on these things, and were like packed together, and it was dancing and singing, and it was like an incredible, going beyond limitations in a most amazing way. And suddenly the Rebbe sat down, and everyone sat down at the same moment. And I was more impressed with the way that everyone sat down at the same moment than by the ecstasy with which everyone was going out of their box. The fact that at that same moment they could all
attune themselves.
And yes, and when the Rebbe stopped it, it stopped.
Typical case of copycats.
What?
And they see what the Rebbe is doing and they do the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a very interesting thing that they have, that there's a powerful, seemingly boundless enthusiasm, and yet it's under control in a very interesting way. See, that's a fascinating thing, when you have spirituality and at the same time a sense of control. I mean, that's one of the descriptions, a kind of a poetic description. What is Chabad? A hot flame in an icy fountain. The icy fountain, the cold fountain, is the fountain of Seichel. And in that fountain of intellect, and in that fountain of intellect is a hot flame, a burning flame. So it's those two things together. So here we have together, so there's the idea of the outer dimension of Keter, which is limited but constant and dependable and very important. And you also have the inner dimension, which is something which comes to the fore occasionally. Hey. Ubiya ha'inyan b'avodat ha'adam, and explaining this in the service of the individual, is kashem shetzichim lahamshich tosfot, or just as we have to draw down extra radiance. Now, this is an interesting thing. You see, it's also explained in what we've just missed out or summarized. There's the idea of malchut at the bottom, and the extra radiance which comes down is in order to lift up malchut. That's the purpose of the extra radiance. The extra radiance pours down through the sefirot, links in with malchut, and is able to lift up malchut, kingship, is able to reach down to the tenth sefirah and lift it up. Now, just as there is that in the Sfirad, kamo kein hu gam b'avoda, so it is also in one's own individual service of God, shetzichim lamshich tosfet ova nashama, we have to draw down extra radiance into our soul. Mitzad klalut yiridata b'guf nefesh ha'bahamit, because of the soul coming down into our body and the animal soul, so there is a problematic situation for the soul, and especially because of the heaviness of the animal soul, especially belaila, at night, the kamosha be'et hashena, the time when one is asleep, mit almima kochot pnimiim, the inner kochot, the inner forces of a person are hidden. What remains revealed, it's only external forces. So, kamochein, in ruchaniyo, just as it is physically, so also spiritually, shemit almima kochot denev shelokit, the divine soul's forces are hidden. Ubekumo b'shemishenato, and when a person wakes up from sleep, tzarich legalot lahagbia kochot denev shelokit, we have to reveal the power of the divine soul. The inyan zeh nase al yedei avodah de mode ani, and we achieve this through the service of mode ani, which is when a person wakes up in the morning, the first words we say is mode ani lefanecha, I thank you, God, melechai bekayim, shehechezato binishmati bechemla, rabba emunatecha, that you, I thank you, God, living in existence, God, a king, that you have given me back my soul, great is your faithfulness. And that's the very beginning of the service of God. Va'achakach, avodat ha'tfilah, then comes the service of prayer. Ad shemagir l'shmon esra, till we reach the Amidah in the shmon esra, in the prayer. And that means the very beginning is hoda'ah. It's just a very basic level of acceptance. That's mode ani, I thank, I accept. And then there is the enthusiasm in the middle part of the prayers, in the shehu inyan hitpa'alut hamidot, the enthusiasm, the excitement of the emotions. It's not a enthusiasm from the intellect. Ki mitpa'alut ha-midot mitzad atzmam. It's the enthusiasm of the emotions in themselves. And then comes a whole excursion about the subtleties of enthusiasm and going higher and different dimensions of enthusiasm, which is a profound section in itself. But what basically it is saying is the way in which the whole process which the person goes through in the process of prayer is a kind of a flowering, where there are different elements of spirituality which come into effect, into play, and they are lifting up the person. They are drawing the person upwards. And so there we have the idea of, as it says at the end of this paragraph, of su'u et rosh b'nei Yisrael, this lifting up of the head of the Jewish people. And the su'u literally means lifting up. And that means lifting it up beyond limitation. And so even though normally when counting, when we talk about su'u et rosh, and we translate it as counting, the counting is something limited, but when we speak about it in this more spiritual way, we're talking about a flow which comes from above, which gives power to the counting, that it should be in an infinite way, like the inner dimension of Keter, and then it's got the force that it's able to lift everything up from below to above. Now, in order to be able to have this power to lift up, we have to have something coming down from above. What comes down from above? In section Vav, it explains, V'hine amshacha melamayla na'asit al yedei Aaron. It's Aaron. Aaron is the Kohen. The Kohen is someone who draws blessings down into the world. So one, Moshe alone doesn't carry out the counting of the Jewish people. It's Moshe with Aaron. And the point is that Aaron is able to bring this force that it should flow downwards. And it flows downwards, and together with him, it flows downwards, and together with him, we have on the next page where it says Omlam, it adds the Nesiyim, that there are the leaders of the tribes. So we had the question, why isn't it only Moshe, as it was in previous times? Why is it also Aaron? Why is it the leaders of the tribes? Because the leaders of the tribes, they represent the radiance which comes from a higher level being brought down to a lower level. So Aaron and the leaders of the tribes together, they represent the way that there is a kind of a flow downwards, flowing into the lower dimensions, giving it the inspiration, the infinite inspiration, that it's able to have this movement upwards. And this is all representing, in a way that at this moment is too complicated for us to read word by word, the person in prayer and the person in the spiritual process of being inspired in their prayer, coming closer, saying Shema, saying the Amidah, and the whole special process that is there in the daily tefillah in Shacharit, where a person is actually inspired. Now, in order that this process should be living within us, we come to paragraph Zayin at the bottom of the page. Omlam, however, gam ze'enu maspik adayin. It's still not enough. V'hu tzchach shekol ze yikateh b'torah. It has to all be written in the Torah. V'yikhu b'torah b'chol shana b'shana. And every year we read about it in Bamidbar, we read about it in the Sedra of the Week, this week's Sedra. Because this whole thing was lefi shekol hanal, everything we mentioned above, haya bahador de yotzei Mitzrayim miyad acharei matan Torah. All this was with the generation who went out of Egypt at the time of the giving of the Torah. That's all very wonderful. Then follows a fantastic Kabbalistic discussion from Sefer Yetzirah, from the Book of Creation, all about the concept of ruach. And speaks about the 10 Sfirot, which are without form. Eses Sfirot Blima. Eses Sfirot, which cannot be defined. And then it says, Achat Ruach Elokim Chaim. One is the spirit or the wind of the living God, the spirit or wind. And then goes into this idea of Ruach, and it comes down to the idea that Ruach is what is when we speak. And the power of reading the Torah reveals this power of Ruach, which is, and it's Ruach from above, and it's Reach from below. And so therefore the fact of us reading in the Torah every year about the counting of the Jewish people is giving us this spiritual empowerment. And that's why there had to be the counting. It then goes into the counting of each group, each tribe by itself. Why couldn't it just give the whole total number of the Jewish people? Why'd they have to give the number for each tribe? Because in the totality of the whole, each individual section of the whole is something independently significant. So in a person, the eyes, the sight of the person, the hearing of a person, every quality that a person has is something which is independently significant, and then you have the whole everything together, and all of this is what is being activated through the fact that we are reading this year after year, and each time that we read it, is this empowerment that we are able to gain these different dimensions of inspiration, the outer level which is constant and which is reliable, but which is limited, the inner level which is beligvul, which is without limit and which is inspiring but possibly dangerous, and so therefore has to be it is only intermittent, and through that we're able to apply that to the concept of prayer and hitba'alut in prayer, enthusiasm in prayer, and going beyond enthusiasm, coming to higher, more and more spiritual levels. And then we come to the last paragraph. V'zeu su'et rosh kol adat v'nei Yisrael. That's what it means, count the whole Jewish people, l'gugul atom by the heads. Su'u hu melashon hagba'a l'mayl min medida. Su'u means lifting up beyond measure. Shezel masha katuv legulgulotam. That's what it means by their heads. Kamavu belikute Torah. The kai ala keter. The word gulgolet, which is skull, that relates to keter or kaviyam mevuakan, and as explained here, hakafanahi al pnimiyuta keter. It means the inwardness of keter. Shal yedei ze nase su lemayle meinyan hamispar. Through this, you will reach a lifting up beyond number. To an infinite level which cannot be counted. And this flow is achieved through Moshe and Aaron, and also through the leaders of the tribes. When it says lift up the head, this was also one of his questions. The head means the Nesiyim, means the leaders of the tribes. Sheheim chinash Rosh Nukudat Hayadut Shebechol Echad MiYisrael. The leaders of the tribes, they are the head of the point of Jewishness in every individual Jew. And they have this responsibility to arouse this. Va'al yedei ze magim lemaylu mimedida, and through that they reach beyond limitation. Kavish yitgale beviat Mashiach tzidkenu, as it will be revealed in the time of Mashiach, bimheilu b'yameinu, sha'oz swiftly na'adei, sha'oz yeh mispah b'nei Yisrael be'ofem, then the number of the Jewish people will indeed be in such a way that lo yimad v'lo yisafer mirob, that it'll be beyond number. And so therefore, there is this idea of arousing the inner point within the Jew, which is this inwardness, which is beyond any kind of limitation, which blossoms forth, and that is the climax of the whole concept, that there is a counting which goes beyond counting and beyond limitation to the infinite that will be revealed with the coming of Mashiach.
This Reach and Ruach, that's from expressing the words, reading, saying them in the Torah, yes? Mm-hmm. You said that.
It's in the penultimate.
stop a few things.